My name is Keith, and I want to thank you for being here today and say a special thank you to you if this is your first time here. Welcome to Truth Community Church. Before you leave today, I'm going to ask you to grab a connection card in the chair in front of you. Just take a moment, fill that out, and hand it to one of our welcome team members as you leave, and they want to give you a gift just to say thanks for coming out today. And I want to send you a card this week to thank you for being here. Last night, I did something that I never thought I would do. Last night, I did something that I'm kind of proud of, but I'm also a little bit like, what was that about? Ashamed of. And so I want to kind of come clean to you guys about this right off the bat. Some of you are like, oh my goodness, what is he going to say? Just let me go on my story. Let me set the stage for you, though. If you don't know me, I have a passion for a certain food. You guys know what that food is? Thank you. So the left side knows what that food is. That's all right. So I have a passion for this ice cream. Now, last night, I went to the supermarket, as I typically will do on the weekend, to get ready for groceries for the week and get everything we need. And I walked past the ice cream aisle, and I didn't buy any ice cream. Right? My name is Keith, and I have a problem. And last night, thank you, and I overcame that problem. Now, what in the world? How in the world did he do that? I want to know. What's the secret here? And listen, the secret is not that I have a lot of containers in my freezer and I had no room. That is not the answer. There are currently no containers in my freezer. Here's why. I am looking to something right now for motivation to not buy ice cream. I've put my sights on something. I'm getting this thing in my head and it's fueling me. It's my motivation. It's where I'm looking to, and it's causing me to make different decisions. Right, so for me right now, I know, okay, I want to look a little better. I want to feel a little better. I want things to fit a little nicer. So in order for me to get there, if I keep looking there, then it's going to enable me to say yes and no to other things. And now I think each one of us, we understand that on some level. The fact that you're here right now is because you were looking for something, right? Like something brought you here. Everything you do, you are motivated because you're looking to that thing. Like you brush your teeth in the morning because you want to keep friends, right? You want to keep your teeth white. So that's your motivation to do those things. Everything in life that we do is fueled by what we're looking to. We have to have something in our sights that's going to cause us to say yes to certain things and no to other things, to live a certain way. And now I've understood that not just with ice cream, but with many different things in my life. You guys probably understand that if you don't like your job, right? You have your job, but you don't like your job. Well, what keeps you going back there each week? The paycheck, the money. That's what you set your sights on. Well, I just know that if I show up on time, if I take care of this, if I do what I have to do, I'm eventually going to get paid for it. I had a job like that. One of my first jobs, I worked at a Christian bookstore, New Horizons in Coram. That was one of my first jobs. It is now a gun store. So kind of symbolic. I don't know if there's something there, but Bible store turned gun store. But I remember going there and I was like, man, I wasn't working after school. And I was like, I don't really want to go to work after school. And I had like a tiny 15-minute window between school and work. But I kept going because I knew, okay, every Friday, I'm going to get paid. It's my motivation to keep going. We all have those things, right? You start projects in your home because of the finished product. Because you know, if I tackle this, if I break this wall down, if I do this thing, it's going to eventually look this way. We all have those things that drive us, that keep us going. Now, here's my question for you. What happens when what you're looking to isn't enough? Like, what happens when the paycheck is not enough any longer? Well, inevitably, you may quit the job. You may start, you know, being a little slacking off on your time and on your projects that you're doing there because that thing you're looking to is no longer strong enough to sustain you. Right? Like, I can try not to buy ice cream all I want, but if I lose sight of, okay, this is what I really want to get, then I'm just going to eventually give in. We all know that. Here's what I want you to know this morning. We all need somewhere to look. We all need somewhere to look in life. We understand that on an everyday level. In order for you to go to work, in order for you to have friends, in order for you to take care of yourself, you need somewhere to look to. Everything you're doing is fueled by something. You're looking somewhere. Now, is where you're looking working? Is where you look to, does it actually work? And here's where I need it to work. Here's where you need it to work. When life is hard. When the moments are screaming, just give in. It's not good enough anymore. Right? When there's like a sale on Friendlies and it's $1.99. Like, what happens there? What happens when life is really hard? Like, let's change scenarios. What happens when your marriage is under attack? What happens when a relationship that you value is under attack and it's getting really hard? What are you going to do? Because what you're looking to in that moment, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's a commitment you've made. Is that going to be enough to sustain you in those, we're going to call them dark moments? We all need somewhere to look. We're all going to experience dark moments. So the question is where you are looking working in your life? Now, we are right in the middle of a set of talks on the story of Jonah. Jonah is a fascinating story. One of my favorites, as I shared last week, this is Sunday School 101. This is Felt Board 101. The story of Jonah is great. You got that giant fish that comes out and gets slapped on that black felt board. And I love the story of Jonah. It's been recreated so many different times. And so we saw Jonah last week where he was. We're going to do a little bit of recap. But where we find him this week is in a very dark place. Like extremely dark, like as dark as it can possibly get, I think. That's the place that Jonah is in. And now Jonah, he needs somewhere to look because we all do. And if he doesn't have that place to look to now, he's going to give up. He's going to falter. He's going to give up on God. He's going to give up on what he's supposed to be doing. He's just going to throw in the towel. But we see Jonah in one of the darkest moments of his life, not giving up. Having hope, doing something that I can honestly say, I don't think I would be doing that if I was Jonah in that situation. Why? Where is Jonah looking to that he is so fueled with hope? That's what I want us to discover today. And I want you to realize that where Jonah is looking to, you can look to. Where Jonah is throwing his attention towards, the motivation that Jonah is finding, the fuel that is pushing Jonah forward, we have access to that same place today. So we're going to be in Jonah chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1, 2, and 7 together corporately. Something we like to do here at Truth Community Church is we stand and we read out loud our scriptures when they work. This week they will. That was a joke if you were here last week. So we're going to have the scriptures up here on the screen for you, I hope, I think. But I'm going to invite you to stand with me and we'll read Jonah chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 7 together. It says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from inside the fish. He said, cry out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. As my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. You can be seated. Thank you for reading that with me. So let's play some catch up, because it's like, all right, hold on, Jonah inside a fish. Don't think that's where we left him last week. Maybe you've never heard the story of Jonah before. Jonah was a prophet, which means he was a man of God called by God to talk about God. That was his one job description. He was called by God to go to certain places and share God's story with those people. Now, God calls Jonah to go to a city called Nineveh, which is the capital city of the Assyrian Empire. I know, facts and history, like what in the world? Just stay with me. This is why it's important. Because the Assyrians were the enemies of the Jewish people, who Jonah was. This Assyrian Empire was right now gaining territory and trying to take over the known world. They were conquering people. They were known for being ruthless, for being brutal. They were filled with pride. They had tons of idols that they worshiped. Like if you stack a Jewish person next to an Assyrian, you get complete opposites. And now Jonah, the Jewish prophet of God, is called to go to the Assyrian capital of Nineveh and share the gospel with them and speak on God's behalf. Let's make this relatable. Who is it that you can't stand right now in your life? Right? Don't, if it's your spouse, don't nudge them. Right? Who is it that you just like, I don't want to talk to this person. I don't want to bring them to church. I don't want to run into them at the coffee shop. Like, just stay away. God's calling you to go there. Okay, let's be Jonah. And so Jonah's like, I'm not going there. I can't stand those people. So instead, I'm going to go in the complete opposite direction. 2,500 miles in the opposite direction, the furthest away he thought he could get in the known world at that time. So he gets on a boat. He heads towards this city. And on the boat, a storm comes. And that's what we learned last week, that life is messy. And so now Jonah finds himself in this mess and these pagan sailors are in the mess. But God's great love was so great, that he rescued those sailors. But here's how he rescued them. Jonah was cast right into the storm. Jonah was thrown overboard. And we learned last week that Jonah's intention in that moment may have been to try to finally escape God from calling him to Nineveh. Like, he wasn't being so noble and so heroic as it was, if I get thrown into the ocean, I'll inevitably drown and I'll never have to talk to my enemies about this thing. Well, God's great love is strong even for Jonah. And so God arranges for this fish to come and swallow Jonah up. And that's where we find him now at this moment. In one of the darkest moments of his life, he thought he was heading down to the deep to be destroyed and killed. Instead, he finds himself inside this fish. Now, let me just briefly touch on what maybe some of you are thinking. Is this just a fish story, right? Can I use that idiom? Is this just some exaggerated, made up hyperbole? Is it narrative or is it, you know, is this real? Did this really happen? What do you think, Pastor Keith? Did this really happen? This morning, my goal is not to convince you if this happened or not. That's not the point of this morning's talk. This morning, the point is we all need somewhere to look. So whether this happened or it's figurative, let's push that to the side for just this morning's talk and look at where we find Jonah in this story. I do believe that this happened. That's my personal belief. But don't let that sidetrack you. Don't let that say, all right, I'm checking out for the next 20 minutes. This is just a fairy tale. Let it be a fairy tale then. Learn something. We learn something from fairy tales, don't we? Shrek fans, anyone in the room? Right? All the fairy tales coming together. Yes, the movie, not the people group. So let this story teach you something. Because Jonah is finding himself in one of the darkest moments of his life right now. Right? He is in a pretty dark environment. And how many of you know that a dark environment has the ability to distract you from what you're looking to for hope? Right? Like, I feel really good going down the supermarket line, but like, I don't need you, ice cream. But put me in a dessert buffet, and I don't know that I'm that strong. Right? Change my environment. Friends of ours, they're going to Cooperage Inn. You guys know where that place is, right? Like, that's like Ichabod, right? Like, the Lord has left this place. Like, you do not want to go there. It is just tons of sweets, tons of desserts, tons of buffets. They're going there, and they were telling me yesterday, like, the buffet line of desserts is like just tens of feet, like just stacks of tables. And I was thinking, like, you get me in that environment, and I don't know that I'm saying no to dessert in that moment. Why? Because dark environments have a way of causing us to lose what we're looking to. And Jonah in this moment, inside a fish, where it is dark, right? Let's just go with what his senses are experiencing here. Could you imagine the smells of inside this fish? Imagine what he is tasting on his tongue. Imagine what he is hearing with his ears, what he is not seeing because it's pitch dark, what he's feeling around him. This is the environment that Jonah now finds himself in. And yet he does something that to me makes me pause and say, how? How are you able to do that there? What are you looking to that is causing you to act this way? What do we read? Verse 1. Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish. Jonah prays? I just want to be real with you guys. I don't know that I'm praying inside the fish. Now, let me kind of clarify that. I don't know if I'm praying the way Jonah prays from inside the fish. Because I may be saying some pretty angry prayers. I may be saying some things that like, God, I'm yelling at you through my prayers right now. I'm questioning you through my prayers right now. But that's not what we find Jonah's prayer about. Look at what he says in verse 9. I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise. And I will fulfill all my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone. I don't know, Jonah, that's a pretty happy prayer for the dark environment that you're in right now. Jonah's saying, everything I was supposed to do for you, I'm going to do for you. You called me to go to Nineveh, I'm going to go to Nineveh. You are my salvation, you are my hope. You are the one I'm looking to right now when life is very dark. I encourage you to read the rest of Jonah 2. It's not a very long prayer that he prays, but in it he talks about how he was heading down for the deep. He uses good imagery and says that the seaweeds were grabbing my legs and pulling me down, but you rescued me. Jonah is looking to what we might say a dark moment in his life, being swallowed by a fish, as a source of rescue. Why? because he's not getting sidetracked by his environment right now. Instead, he's continuing to look to God. Now, we can understand that as he's praying. Okay, he's looking to God, but I want us to take a step further. Not only is Jonah looking to God, Jonah is looking to a specific part of God that is fueling him, that is causing him to pray the way he is in one of the darkest moments of his life. Specifics are very important, right? We understand that. Imagine if maps never had roads on them, right? Just landmarks. Just here's the church and there's Costco and just get there. Like some of us don't even know what a map is because we just grew up in GPS world. But if you drove before GPS, you know, like, okay, before we get there, I remember my parents had the map. You outlined where you're going to go and you need those specifics to get you somewhere, right? Imagine recipes without actual specifics. It was just add a little of this and some more of that and mix it for a while and put it in the oven at whatever temperature you feel is hot enough and then take it out when you think it's done. That would not bode well for what we are cooking. We need specifics. And what I want you to understand as we tackle this, where are you looking, is where you're looking working. You need something specific about God to look to. You need something real about God to look to if you were to make it through these dark moments in our lives. And that's what Jonah is doing. In his prayer, he is looking to a specific aspect of God that is fueling him in a dark moment. And he tells us what that is in verse 7. As my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. Jonah is recalling something that he knows specifically about God in his prayer. Not just the God he's praying to, but he's visualizing this element that the Jewish people had, and it was the temple. And what was the temple? The temple was established by God through Moses, initially called the tabernacle, right? It was a tent, but then it became a temple, a more secure and concrete location. But the purpose was the same. The temple was the place where God would meet people, where holy God would come and meet sinful people. Now, let me explain some of those words to you so you can grasp the magnitude of what's taking place at the temple. Sinful people cannot meet a holy God because of those two adjectives that describe each party. Because I am so sinful and I am so selfish, I cannot get close to a holy God because the word holy means without sin. God can't come near that. And so here's God on this side in his holiness, and here is humanity on this side in our sinfulness, and there's no way that I can get to him. And so God establishes this meeting place for the Jewish people, the tabernacle, later called the temple. And here's why God was able to meet people here. Because here in the temple were two very important elements. There was the law, and there was sacrifice. Now the law that was right at the center of the temple, kept in the Ark of the Covenant, you guys Indiana Jones fans, right? Like those type of elements, like don't touch it, don't open it. That's right there. And the law is inside of that. And the law is a reminder to this party, you can't get to him. The law reminds you of how sinful you are. You want to try to get over here to God? You can't, because the law is stopping you. Because the law reminds you, you're a liar. You're a thief. You just don't do what's right. You break this, the law, so you can't get here. But God also brings in this sacrifice system in the temple where a priest would come in and me, sinful humanity, would come over with my sacrifice and present it to the priest, and the priest would slaughter that sacrifice, present that sacrifice, whatever it was, grain, animal, whatever it was for that moment. And because of that sacrifice, now God could meet the person there. That was the temple. That was the purpose of it. And so Jonah in this moment is remembering, as far away as he feels from God because of his dark environment, yeah, he's inside a fish. But I remember the temple. And the temple tells me that I am way more far away from God because of my sin than because of this fish. And the temple also reminds me that God is way closer to me than I think, because of the sacrifice. Here's what the temple declares. As crushed as you feel, there is hope still. I haven't forgotten you. I've made a way for you to know me to call out to me. That's what God was declaring to the Jewish people through the temple. That is where Jonah is specifically looking to in one of the darkest moments of his life. And that is why he's able to well up with hope and continue to trust in God. And can I tell you, for you and I today, while there are so many things we could look to in this world, we also can look to the same place Jonah looked. Not to a structure, not to the temple building any longer, but to the one who declared, "I am the temple." His name is Jesus. See, early on in his ministry, while Jesus was at the temple, he declares to the people that are there in John 2, "Destroy this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days." And that kind of got the crowd a little upset because the people knew the reverence of the temple. They knew how long it took Solomon to build the temple. They knew how long it took the prophets to rebuild the temple. And so for this guy to show up on the scene and say, "Oh yeah, just destroy this thing and in 3 days I'll raise it up." They're like, "You can't do that. Like, that's impossible." But we go on to read the next verse that John writes for us. And he says, Jesus was referring to himself. You see, everything that God instituted through the temple system, the things that Jonah was looking to in that fish, were to point him to Jesus Christ. Because in Jesus, we see both the law and the sacrifice. We see the law in the sinless way that Jesus lived. We see perfection of the law. We see completion of the law in the life that Jesus lived. And we see the sacrifice that we all need in the death of Jesus Christ. See, you and I, because we sin, we ultimately deserve to be sacrificed. That's what those moments were. As a Jewish person would go to the temple, they would present that sacrifice and know, this is my substitute because I am the one who should be sacrificed. And Jesus came as the substitute sacrifice to end all substitute sacrifices. Isn't it interesting that you guys didn't show up today with goats and rams and grains? Right? That would be a little weird. It'd be a little messy in here. But we don't operate under that pretense any longer. That's not our structure for meeting with God. Why? Because God doesn't desire sacrifice. He doesn't need sacrifice. No, that's not why. It's because Jesus was sacrificed on your behalf. Amen. But the way I see it is either you got to look to Jesus or you better start a farm. You need to start bringing some animals to church with you or you're going to depend on Jesus Christ to be your sacrifice. That's who we need to look to. That's who Jonah was looking to in this dark moment. He was looking to Jesus without even realizing it. And he was sustaining him. See, here's why. Because you may still be saying, but why Jesus? I mean, all right, I get it. Sin, the law, meeting with God. But do I really need that? Can't I continue to looking to other things to fuel me? Relationships, financial security, right? Just being a good person. Can't I look there? Here's the problem with those other places that we try to look to. They will inevitably die and stay dead. At some point, look, I don't want to be morbid, but at some point, everyone in this room is going to die. It's just the reality. We are all of us bound for the grave, every single one of us. And so if we're putting our stock in the people that we see around us, you saw that Italian in me, the people we see, no one caught that, just me, right? If we're putting our stock in the people we see around us, if we're putting our stock in money, if we're putting our stock in government, wherever it is that we're looking to, those things will inevitably die and stay dead. And then what happens to your hope there? It dies. It stays dead. And so you'll go through a dark moment and you'll think, well, I'll just look here and I will find renewed hope because we all need somewhere to look. So I'm going to choose to look to my spouse. So then you're going to place expectations on your spouse. And when they inevitably don't meet those expectations, what happens? You lose hope. Come on. I've been there. My wife would say amen, right? You've been there. You've looked to me for certain things. And what happens? You lose hope because you were not designed to look for hope in the things around you. They're possibilities, they're options, but they're not the best option. You need to look to Jesus in any season of life you're going to. But specifically, you need to know what part of Jesus do I look to? That's what Jonah singled out here in this moment. He knew for him, he needed to be gospeled. He needed to remember the gospel truth of the temple. I am a sinner and I am loved. I am separated from God by the law, but I am brought close to him through sacrifice. Where are you looking? Is it working? See, I want to encourage you this week to get specific with God. Because each one of us, we have stories. Each one of us have moments in our lives right now that we're going through. And so for you, you might need a specific aspect of God that you really need to cling to in this moment. Right? I mean, let's use some examples. You might be going through something physically, and you just need to look to God's word. You need to rely on some promises that remind you he formed you. He made you. He knows your body. Right? You might be going through something relationally. You need to read stories about how God brought restoration to people's relationships. These aren't things that we just discount and say there's no way he could do that. We don't get caught up in the different moments that we read about, but these are real aspects of God. Jonah had to be specific in what he was looking to. So where do you need to look to this week? What are you going through in your life that's really, really dark, that is causing you to possibly give up? Look to God. Look to Jesus. Find him. He is available to each one of us. We all need somewhere to look. Could you imagine how this world would change? How our communities would change? If just right here in this room, we all decided to start looking to Jesus. Come on, just dream with me. How would this world start to change? How would your specific world start to change? How would the communities that you exist in, through social interactions, your family, your friends, your job circles, how would those start to change if you decided, I'm going to look to Jesus while the rest of the world is looking somewhere else? While the rest of the world is looking to a political leader? While my friends are all looking to their spouses for satisfaction? While these people are looking to financial security for comfort, I'm going to keep looking to him. Man, I see a world that changes when we start to look to Jesus. Jonah's world changed when he started to look to Jesus. Jesus went through a level of darkness that you and I will never have to go through. Should we look to him? Jonah was in that fish 3 days. Jesus was in the grave 3 days. Jesus resurrected. Jesus came back to life. That's why I say every other place you look to dies and stays dead, but Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead. The hope that we find in him is a never-ending hope. It is a life-giving hope. It is what we sang about, resurrection power. Do you have that hope today? Where are you looking? Is it working for you? I am so, in my heart, just as I was preparing for this, I was praying for you this week. Because I know every single person in this room is looking somewhere. We are all of us looking somewhere. And on my heart is that you would not look to a place that is going to die and will inevitably kill you in the process. Because there's someone greater. Because there is someone more for you. And his name is Jesus. Amen. And so I want to invite you this morning to look to Jesus. If you have not yet looked to him even once, today, right now, you can begin looking to him. You can shift what you are looking to over to him. I want to invite you to do that. So I'm going to close our time in prayer, and I'm going to head to the back of the room, and I want to pray with you. If that's you and you say, I'm not looking to Jesus right now, and I want to start looking to Jesus, let's pray. And Christians, keep looking to Jesus. Don't get sidetracked by what's around you. You know those things, they're going to fail. You were created for someone more, someone greater. Let's pray. Good Lord, I thank you so much that you care about us, that you see a humanity that is looking. All of us look. And you see a humanity that is looking in places that just does not work. And so we thank you this morning for your word that reminds us to look to your son, Jesus. As Jonah looked to the temple, so today we look to the one the temple points us to. We look to the one who shows us our sinfulness and shows us your mercy. I pray this week that your spirit would move on our hearts to find those specific aspects of you, great God, that we need to know. Your promises that you have given to us in your word, your characteristics that we read about, We want to know those things so that as we go through dark environments, our hope is sure. In Jesus Christ, your Son, we thank you. Amen.